Great to see so many people here today.
Yeah.
Your turn, Calhoun.
Oh, sorry. Okay. And my name's Crystal Calhoun, and I'm the assistant superintendent. And I had missed the other shack because I was out with back surgery. So I thought everybody knew everybody when I started introducing myself. So I apologize. I didn't know that we're all meeting today, each other. And then now I think you're
we'll go this way. Joan. We'll go.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go this way.
He's got it. Okay. Here we go.
I'm Joan Ford. I'm the child nutrition director here at Big Sandy ISD also.
And a few other slashes.
Yes.
You do a few other things.
A few things.
And I'm Vicki Owen. I'm the registered nurse for Big Sandy ISD.
I'm Annette Garcia. I'm the Director of Volunteer Services for Christus Trinity Mother Frances Health System. So that's Tyler, Jacksonville, Winsboro, any of our clinics, all of that good stuff. And both of my boys go here.
Yay!
I am Ashley Green. I am the Coalition Coordinator for Next Step Community Solutions. I run the Piney Woods Substance Abuse Coalition, and your county is inside of that coalition.
All right.
And I'm Sean Holtrup, and I'm an elementary instructional coach.
I'm Kristen Matthews. I'm a parent. I'm also a registered nurse. And both my boys and my daughter will go here, and my daughter will go here next year.
Yay!
It should be pre-K or kinder?
It should be kinder.
All right.
They said they didn't have any room for them pre-K this year. It's
going to fill up quick this year.
It did, yeah. Up quick. So she got to do home mommy pre-K. Be my assistant.
Maybe she'll be in my boys' class. I got a boy that'll be your age. That is your age. He'll be in kindergarten next year.
Matthew.
Stay away from him. He's trouble.
This is his sign.
Oh.
Matthew likes to copy things he sees and write.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Proud dad. Lays it around. I love it.
Leaves it everywhere. All right. We got everybody, right?
Everybody make sure we sign, which I have not, by the way.
It's floating around.
Okay. I've got it.
We skipped you when you were in there doing the copy.
And then it's, are we on record yet? Okay. And if you didn't know, it's law now that we record and we post these on our website as well. And then I think we're going to go on and start with Burns, Mr. Burns. Sorry, I call you all kinds of things, don't I? He's going to give us an update, small one, short and sweet, and all those things about our district.
Okay. Well,
No stress.
Well, I don't think it'll be a whole lot. I'll just kind of tell you what's been going on in the district. And as most of you know, this is busy season. Springtime comes around. We have a million activities going on. We've got spring sports in full effect. So we're extremely busy with that. This year we've brought back a lot of things that we were doing pre-COVID that we're now back to doing. And so we've got like a junior high dance coming up this Friday. We've got a daddy-daughter dance coming up, I think next weekend. And so we have some things like that that are going on. And then, you know, some of the other things that we're doing facilities-wise, if you guys want to, you could drive out. Well, maybe not the best time to do that after this meeting, but we're resurfacing our track right now. Our bright blue track had turned into a very kind of dingy multicolored track. So that's being resurfaced and restriped and all that. It looks beautiful. Somebody sent me a drone picture this morning of it, and it looks a whole lot better. And of course, we open that up to our community, and we do have a lot of people in the mornings go walk the track and do things like that. So that is always open. It's always open in the morning and the evening hours, and really we have some people that go out there, and as long as they're not out there when our kids are out there. We have kids that use it all the time. We're getting ready to gear up for our testing season, which is always kind of big and stressful around here, but our teachers are doing great and our administrators are ready to get us going through that. We've just got a lot of things that have been rolling right now and going really well. And I'm sure there's other things that I'm not thinking of, but those are kind of the big things happening right now in Big Sandy. And like I said, it's busy season, so you can pretty much roll up here any evening and see something going on. So come on up and hang out when you see it.
Mm-hmm. Joan, do you want to tell a little bit or introduce kind of our guest speaker? She'll probably introduce herself a bit.
Yeah.
I figure she'll do a great job with that, but you know.
Well, I know I think at one time we did maybe have a partnership with y'all. I found some paperwork from this from years and years ago.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
We usually have at some point with most of the schools.
And this is Ashley Green. She's with the Coalition Coordinator for Piney Woods Substance Abuse Coalition, and she's going to do a presentation on, we were trying to see if we want to partner with them to help with kids and maybe even some adults that maybe have some substance abuse or to prevent them from having it.
Absolutely. Okay, so first I'm going to give y'all, I have a sticker for everybody, because everybody likes gifts, right?
We love stickers.
So this is my favorite sticker. It's my daughter's favorite sticker, too. She has one on her water bottle and her laptop and
All the different places. But this is my favorite one that we have.
Love it.
Because it's good. A campaign that we do a lot.
It's moving to me. It makes me a little weepy whenever I think about it. And you'll see some pictures in here. I'll try to point out the one where they're working with the I'm Worth More theme. Actually, it's right up there, that one in the middle where they're putting sticky notes all around it. That was a school campaign where they had the I'm Worth More in the middle, and then the kids all came up with reasons for how they would prove their worth and how they are defined, which is very moving for me.
Fantastic.
So, most people don't really know what a coalition does. I did not know what a coalition did when I took this job. And so it's been kind of fun for me to learn that. So I'm actually pretty new. I started in November, but I've been in nonprofit work for a very long time. I was the director of volunteers for the Literacy Council of Tyler for 7.5 years. And then I've moved from adult education into prevention. I'm a foster mom, and so substance abuse affects my life pretty regularly. And most of the time when I first took this job, I was like, I may not be very good at this. I did not use substances as a youth. I had a very mean mother who didn't let me do things, and it worked well for me, kept me out of a lot of trouble. But it has affected the lives of the people that I love very, very much. And my current foster son's mom, her name is Leah. And I think all the time, what a difference these things would have made for her if this would have been the world that she grew up in. And so that's kind of the motivation behind why I like what we do. It was also very scary knowing how early you should have these conversations with your kids, because I have kids these ages. Okay, so a coalition is a group of people. So my coalition meets once a month in a monthly meeting, but it goes far beyond that. My job really is to mobilize the community. So each of you as school leaders, faith leaders, parents, etc., law enforcement, we facilitate those partnerships to help mobilize your community to prevent substance abuse in the youth in your community. So the green counties are the counties that I serve. The blue ones are served by my partner, whose name is Angel. And then we're actually housed in Smith County in Tyler. And so we have a smaller coalition there that's just for Tyler, the Tyler area. So the grant that we are paid through covers 4 substances. Underage drinking is the number one substance that kills youth. It's more than all of the other substances combined. So we always are focusing on underage drinking. It also is usually the easiest to access. It has the least stigma around it. You never hear of parents saying, oh, well, I'm going to give my kid a little taste of crack cocaine so that they can, you know, try it out before they get older and kind of take away the allure of it. You don't hear people doing that, but you do with alcohol all the time. So a lot of what we do revolves around educating parents around the dangers of alcohol as well. E-cigarettes, this is probably one of the biggest ones that I get from schools. They know that vapes are huge right now. Everybody's doing it. They said, what was the stat? Something like, don't quote me on this, but something like, we don't have updated numbers on that yet, but like 1 in 5 middle schoolers has tried a vape, and that's a lot of people. So I have a middle schooler and I have 2 middle schoolers. And so, of course, when I got that number, I immediately went and talked to them. And they could list 5 people that they knew had gotten in trouble for vaping in middle school. So this probably comes as no surprise to y'all because y'all are
no here.
Y'all are dealing with it. Prescription drug abuse, that's kind of where we're at right now. So you'll see some of the campaigns that we do later in my presentation. But right now is DEA take back time, so it's time for us to get the prescriptions out of cabinets. Hopefully not in water systems. It's amazing to me how many people want to flush their drugs. That is very, very dangerous. We don't want that either. And then, of course, we surely don't want them in cabinets where youth can get a hold of them, or anyone for that matter. And then underage marijuana use. So I get a lot of questions about this one, too, as the conversations around legalization come up. Regardless of legalization, we believe that it is harmful to minors, and the laws will still not allow minors to smoke marijuana. So regardless of legalization, we will still cover this substance. So this chart shows 30-day use. So this is Region 4, which we are in, 7th to 12th graders, and how many of them have used this substance within the last 30 days. 13% for vapes, 27% for alcohol, like I showed you. That's the most, 9 for marijuana and 6 for prescription drugs. The cool thing about this, or the scary thing, depending on how you look at it, is if you take out like those middle schoolers and you separate them, those numbers are gonna go up a lot higher because our older kids have used more of these substances and have used them more frequently, but those middle schoolers have not, and so they're a really good age for us. We start at fifth grade, typically, talking to kids, and so when we start that early and get that far upstream, we're being able to influence decisions that they haven't already made. They don't have stories of, well, my friend did it and they were fine, you know, so that's kind of what we try to get ahead of that. Then a big part of what we do is social norms. We want these kids to understand that not most of their friends are not using. As you can see, that is not even close to the majority of teens. And so though we would love for those numbers to be zero, we want them to understand that they're not alone in not using these substances. So these are the strategies that we do. Like I said, changing social norms and providing coping skills. Educating youth, their parents, and the community, and then reducing the access. Social norms. So these are, I'm just gonna kind of show y'all like what these pictures are. So the girl in the pink hoodie, she is doing morning announcements. It was a campaign that a school, usually we let the group of students that we're working with come up with the campaigns. They're young and cooler than I am, so they can usually tell me what their friends are gonna respond to. The more ownership they have in it, the more they get behind it. And so we really want to let them lead the charge in that. So that was their idea, was that they were going to do morning announcements, and they shared drug facts, they shared the stats behind not everyone's doing it, all of the social norm kind of stuff that we share with them. And then the other one is a group of students, they kind of plastered their school with posters. You saw the I'm Worth More pictures, stuff like that. We have a school in my partner's coalition. They are fixing to blanket their school sidewalks in drug-free messaging. So, then parent education. So usually it happens a lot when I'm at health fairs and I'm sharing drug facts with parents. They usually get really scared. They're like, oh, you're the worst table I've come to. You're scaring me. I don't want to know these things. But I like to inform them that they are also the number one deterrent from their child using substances. Every study, for as far as I can know, has been done shows that kids listen to their parents more than we think that they do, and that you are the number one thing that will stop them from doing it. They will listen to you. They need to know that drugs and alcohol are unacceptable, that you have consequences, and that you're gonna stick to those consequences. It's the number one thing. So we do share lots of tips with them, lots of information, but then we try to encourage them, and then we try to equip them with the skills to have those conversations and how to talk to their kids. Other adult education, that's what this is. So coming and sharing with you, we share with law enforcement, we have lots of, we've done PD for teachers, we've done training for law enforcement, we've done, like I said, SHAC meetings, PTA, all of that kind of stuff, just as much as we can share with the community. The presentations that we have, and there's like a whole list of them. I don't know, Joan, if I actually sent those to you. It's really, the state has opened up this year for us to do a lot of stuff, the more upstream they want us to be, so now we're able to get more into the coping skills and things like that, which is great because that's really what's causing the substance abuse problem. So we like that. It's really, there's not really a limit on what we can share with. Oh, you know what, let me go back. So one of the other things that we're working on right now, again, along the lines of vaping, is in Kilgore ISD, they're having a problem with vaping, just like everybody else is, and their school will not allow them to do a program that basically like lets them choose. You either go to ISS or you go do this program with me. But that's kind of the end goal that we're working towards. But right now in their ISS program, they have to go through a presentation with me and we do some stuff on the dangers of vaping. So that kind of goes in line with their punishment to hopefully teach them, you know, the dangers behind what they're doing. Especially because most of them don't know what they're doing. It's a cool thing. So don't provide ETX. This is part of our reducing... I'm sorry, say that.
You guys come in and do that with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we actually had three different people this year working on trying to find out who comes into the schools to talk about the vaping stuff.
So we like, and you've done that with other districts. So yeah. I get caught using a vape, mm-hmm. and I'm in ISS. I get whatever we're going to call it, mm-hmm. and then as part of that, you come in and you counsel with me. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yep. So, and we can do it. We've done it a couple of different ways. We've done it in groups. We've done it one-on-one. And then we've also done even just like packets, if that's
we could do groups.
The option. Mm-hmm. Whatever is, we want to teach them,
is it,
not just punish.
Is it difficult for you to find the time to do that? Or, no. I mean, do you get spread out to a lot of schools? Or if we...
Like we need to set up once a month? Or something, or once a 6 weeks, and if they went.
I mean, because for me, the timely aspect of it would be great. We catch a kid vaping in the bathroom, and like 2 or 3 days later, you're there,
probably
you're talking about.
The best thing for me would be once a week, if we could have like a standing, like I come on Monday and I talk to whoever is in ISS for vaping.
So me and you'll talk after this.
Okay. Perfect. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
we had a presentation on that a couple of years ago with the Shack. I think it was through AgriLife on vaping too. But
well, I just love that you get them right after they've done it. Because like you just said, and I think part of what you must talk to them about, they don't know how dangerous it is. They don't know what it can do to their lungs. They don't know that.
I have some stats in my vaping presentation that shows like how many of the kids don't even know what they're vaping.
No.
And at this stage, they think it's safer, you know, instead of smoking a cigarette, they think, well, I'll just hit this vape pen and that's better. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyway, that's fantastic. Yeah. I love to hear this.
Again, we tried it. So, I didn't bring my notes from that thing that I did the other day. Again, sorry, I can't give you stats just off the top of my head. I'm not that good. But the number of kids that are vaping and the number of kids that are having like mental health issues is so similar. And so and the number of kids that are vaping that have mental health issues is skyrocketing. But it's probably a revolving circle. They're probably vaping because of these mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And so we try to get ahead of that too and teach them those coping skills, 100%. Teach them healthy things so that they can deal with that in a better way. So
that's terrific.
That's kind of the method that we use. So reducing access, this is a program that we do called Sticker Shock. We just wrapped that up. We do it around Super Bowl, and because it's a really high drinking holiday, it's one of the most prevalent where adults do give alcohol to minors. So we try to get ahead of the game. We partner with retailers and put red stickers, you've probably seen them in your grocery stores before, that warn adults not to provide to minors, and it links them to our website, Don't Provide ETX, and it gives them tools to how to talk to their kids about substances. And then we also put, you can kind of see in the picture of the McDonald's bag, it's a sticker that encourages parents to talk to their kids, that mealtime is a great time to talk to their kids about substances, and links them to that same website.
Do y'all do that, like, what time of year do you do the McDonald's sack?
It's all around, I'm sorry, I keep saying spring break, around Super Bowl. Oh, okay. Yeah. But we can do it anytime.
I'm curious, why did y'all pick Super Bowl for that one, though?
Because they drink a lot.
No, not the drinking. When she's saying for parents to spend time, eating dinner is a good time to talk with your kids.
We really do that all the time. That's kind of...
That's the one I want to know about.
That's one of the most common presentations that we share is how to talk to your kids about substances. We encourage mealtime. We have like little cards that we give
them. Well,
that conversation starters.
Engagement.
Yeah. We have all of that stuff. It just goes in line with our sticker shop program around Super Bowl because that's when we know. It's one of the most highly reported holidays that adults are giving alcohol to minors.
Yeah.
So that's good. And then like down around like Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Right. I was thinking holiday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we partner with those retailers, we ask them, they leave them up all year. I've never seen one of them take them off. But we ask them to put it up at Super Bowl and leave it through graduation.
That's cool.
We
go to McDonald's.
You should have seen one of those by now.
Probably did. I was too busy ripping
into the
bag.
They didn't partner with us again this year. We were really sad. That was actually, we've had a standing partnership with them for many years, but the owner for the
franchise,
he owned a bunch of different ones and he left. So he's passed it on to someone else. So
Wendy's is a good one to use because, you know, they do the stuff like with the foster kids and like the little IC whatever card or whatever. So that's a thought. I think mine expired, but I just had one like last year or whatever.
Very cool. I'll write that down and keep that in mind. The big one that we're hoping for next year, and we didn't get anybody to take the bait this year, but we're hoping for pizza places to take it. Most people provide pizza on Super Bowl night, so it's a good one.
Chick-fil-A is another good one, even though they're closed on Sunday, but they're very family, faith-oriented. You may get somewhere with something like that.
Chick-fil-A trays are a hot commodity.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
They definitely are.
That's a very good tip. Thank you. Wendy's
and Chick-fil-A. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I know, right? So prescription disposal boxes is another thing that we do. We partner with law enforcement in my coalition. I have 7 of them. You may have seen them. I don't think, does Big Sandy have a police department of their own? I don't think they have a drop box with us, but we do in lots of other areas. So basically, it's just you come, drop off your prescriptions that are expired or unused. You don't need them, and you can get rid of them, no questions asked.
We have a recycling center now. I wonder if that's something we could put next to the recycling center.
Yeah, that would be great.
And it's right next to the police station.
And that's awesome. Police departments are, so it's kind of, there's some laws that are very interesting in how you dispose of those medicines. And so they usually have to be at either, they don't have to be at, but they have to be manned and taken care of by a police department or by like a healthcare facility. So we've installed 17 drop boxes and promote 20 more in our area. So not all of them are started and opened by us. EastTexasRx.com is a list of where you can find those if you need one. The other thing that we do for prescription drugs, like I said, is DEA Take Back. That's what's going on right now. April 30th is the big DEA Take Back. It's a national day. Law enforcement partners all over the nation will group together and they will host events. It's great for the community. It's great for law enforcement partnerships with the community to come out and have fun. We help bring food, and we promote, and we're cheerleaders, and we bring volunteers, all of that kind of stuff. So the really cool thing about that, I usually, whenever I do like health fairs and stuff, I have this big bag of fake pills, and it's about a pound of pills, so imagine about that big. And to date, we've collected over 5,600 pounds of drugs off of the streets.
The first thing my eye went to,
Yeah, it's a lot, and it's really visual when you have that visualization of that big bag of pills to give you the idea of how much it actually is. The other way that we get prescriptions off of the streets is we have a partnership with the University of Houston. These are disposal pouches. We have some, like in that black bag, where you actually put your drugs in, you add water to it, it's got a charcoal system in there, you shake it up, and it disintegrates the drugs for you. and takes care of them. And then we're almost out of those. I don't know if they will bring them back or not. But we also have a more simple pouch that you just pour your prescription drugs in there, nothing liquid. You can just leave it in the bottle for that one. Seal it back up, put it in the mail, and they will dispose of them for you. And I can give them to whoever. One of the things that we do for schools a lot of time is provide them to nurses for at the end of the year when you have prescription medicines that kids' parents didn't pick up at the end of the year, then you can dispose of them that way. So it doesn't really go towards anything in our program. It's just a good service. So these are the results. I would love to say that this is a direct, you know, result from our program. But really, this is a community effort. This is a state effort. We have really tried in lots of different sectors to bring down all of these numbers, and it is working. So this is what is coming new for us. I kind of shared this with y'all already. The state's opened up for us to kind of build this bridge. Next Step has two programs. It's prevention and mental health, and there's now a bridge between those two. It really started with some COVID funding, which was very helpful to bring down the stress and anxiety levels that has brought on. So we have some yoga programs and community events that work with trauma. And then the other big thing is the sources of strength on school campuses. So I'm assuming y'all have not done this?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't think so. So right now we have 16 schools. Our goal is to have 16 more start in the new year. This is a huge part of our program right now. It's very, very fun. If you are interested in it, we actually have a director that runs that whole program, and she can give you more information about it. But basically, it's done with teenagers, and then there are a few adult leaders that will work with them. And we try to get a general population. So we want cool kids, band kids, bad kids, good kids. We want all the kids, black, white. We want them all, a nice mixture of kids. And then we want to train them to be peer leaders. And it goes through all of these. So the sources of strength are all of these in the little wheel. And then we play lots of games, camp
games. What age groups?
So they have this in middle school and high school. So
okay,
all the way through.
Now, let me ask you this. This is after school and weekends?
This is in school time. So again, she could tell you more about that. I don't know all of the details of how they set that up and what it's like, what most of the schools use that time for, how they allow that. That's out of my purview. I just know that they're currently pulling all of their data in from it, and it has been huge celebrations on our end because we're seeing lots of growth from these kids. It's also very emotional. Part of the program is they have to choose a trusted adult, and they do a campaign with that, and there are never dry eyes in the room when they do it. It's very, very moving. So the next coalition meeting for me is March 24th at 1 p.m. It is open to the public, so anybody that wants to attend can. The biggest thing for me is that we need voices from your community. I don't have any, that's why I reached out to Big Sandy, because I don't have any representation from this area, and because your community matters, and I want y'all to have a voice at the table, that's why I'm here.
Where do you meet?
To work with you.
In your office in Smith County?
No, so it's actually right now, our meetings are in person at Marshall ISD Administration Building, which is a long drive for y'all, that's not convenient, but it's also done through Zoom. So it's hybrid. And then I'm moving to having county-specific meetings, hopefully starting in April. But I don't know if we'll... spring break kind of threw a wrench in our plans. So we'll see. But I can keep y'all in the loop with when that happens. And for sure, you can join through the Zoom.
Okay. Could you send me the link for the Zoom?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then I could forward it to whoever else wants to go.
Yeah, for sure. Of course. Absolutely. Any questions for me? That's the end.
That's great.
Can you send me contact about their mental health? Some of those kids in Tyler had asked about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I think most of the schools in Tyler are doing sources of strength. And then the other part of our program is a mental health program. And so we actually partner with the schools, and it's kind of like a half and half situation where we pay for part of their salary and they pay for the other part. And it's a licensed counselor that's on their campuses. This is not a school counselor. It's a therapist. Wow. You know? What?
A real counselor.
No, those are real counselors too. They have important jobs, but this is very different.
A different type of counselor.
Exactly. And my daughter actually benefits from this. I mean, my daughter lives, we live in Bullard, and I work in Tyler downtown, so it's a long drive for me to be able to pick her up and drive her to and from counseling, and it's expensive. This comes to her while she's at school. They pull her out of class, do her counseling with her, and it doesn't cost me a thing. So it's a great benefit for our, and the cool thing about that, too, is that pretty much every school that does it, they're like, oh, I think we can afford one day for one campus. And the next year, they're like, no, we want them on this campus, and we want them another day, because their schedules fill up very fast. And it's a huge benefit to their students.
We talked to you about that program?
If you're interested in it, I will share that with them. We are.
I'm interested in that, too.
Yay! Perfect! That makes me so happy. Okay, I'm going to make some notes on my phone real quick. So I don't forget.
There's a lot.
How much longer do we think the meeting is going to last?
We probably got about 10 more minutes.
Okay. Yep. I'm interviewing some students for our summer program.
Okay.
Here. Because we have three students, and awesome. One of them, I told her
about
after 10 the meeting.
More minutes. Thank you so much, and that was awesome information.
That was a really good presentation.
Thank you.
I'll have your email.
Yes.
And so we'll go from there.
Perfect.
Okay, so Joan's going to give us an update on the mobile mammogram.
I did get in touch with Angela, who's over it at the Ross Center, and I do have it scheduled for September
29th. Yay!
They will be out here. They'll park out here in front of the high school gym. Those that do not have insurance, she said it would be $150 for them. It used to be where the patients could just come in, but they now take appointments. And she said come April, they can start calling to make the appointments right away.
Now, what I'm used to is it's our responsibility to get everybody lined out in their appointment times. And then we give them the sheet up. Is it different now?
It's different, yeah, it changed.
That's so then they have to sign
they
up
have to sign
for
up.
That time. Mm-hmm. In which what we would do would be we would have the principals get their times and they would cover them so they could go out there to get their scan. That is so exciting. And I've always had the school insurance and it's always covered at 100%.
And they have to be 35 years or older.
Well,
that was one thing that she
that's
said.
That's called insurance.
The main thing is the people who are getting it done, they have to be 35 years or older.
Yeah, and it's convenient because you don't realize it before you know it. You've put it off for 3 years.
Right.
In a district that I've been at previously, we literally each year somebody would send out a district-wide email, and they would say, mine was found through this simple bus. You know, this bus that pulled up at our school, and I ran out and got it real quick. Mine was found.
Early detection. It was all taken care of. So
yeah, and I can't tell you how many we had in a small district. It was
fantastic.
A large number that theirs was. So I'm excited about that. I was shocked we didn't have it, and now we're going to have it. That's
so we just
news.
Need to maybe put out a flyer or something to start advertising it. So
August when the staff come in, we need to make sure we talk then to them.
Maybe
it takes a while to get
them
signed
up in the spring.
Yeah, because she said they can start signing up starting in April.
Well, but then you have turnover and all that, and then you have people that we don't
that's
have that same
schedule.
That's
true.
They like to set up.
You said September 29th? So
yes.
You said September 29th. Right.
They have to know their conference period or their lunch, you know, because they'll pick around that.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. That's good. Okay, the next thing we have is Joan's going to give us a quick update just about the wellness policy that's coming up.
Yeah, we do need to get that done. I do have a couple of samples from WellStat. I don't know what program we use to do that, but it's questionnaires that we do have to answer, and that deadline is June 30th that we need to get that.
We have something to do a little before that as well. Yeah. So by law, we have to do the school health survey. That is now available. We'll click and go online, and it kind of just basically we fill out who we are, what we do, and all those things. It's to hold us accountable.
Is that through TASB?
And that's due by May 27th.
Okay.
And then the next thing we're doing is we're looking at our next possible meeting. We have one more to do. And, of course, like Mr. Burns was talking about, how we're booked with testing and end-of-year stuff. I am projecting, this isn't solid yet, but I looked at April 20th, and I think that made us a safe little time frame. So we would be here again, and we would be here at 2:30 again. And obviously the 20th, hopefully, we'll be a little closer to getting the school health survey done, since it's to be submitted by May 27th. And other than that, if we talk about any future ideas and topics, you know, that's great about the bus for our ladies. And then I think we may have a few updates for our district. Did you get an update yet on the new building? And we'll do that later, maybe around then.
Yeah, we'll do it around there. We'll know a little bit more. Just so you know, the district has bought, I think most, a lot of people know this, but a lot of people probably don't. The district bought two buildings in downtown Big Sandy. It's really one, it's two buildings, but they're connected. And we're going to move this business office down there. If you go, as you could see, when all of you were waiting, there was no place for you to all wait. And these ladies in here are on top of each other. And there's some things that they do that requires discrepancy when they're doing background checks and things, and they do it out here in the public. Anybody can see what they're working on. So we were able to get a lot of square footage. So we'll also have our board meetings down there, much bigger room than this. This is where our board meeting meets. And if we've got a crowd, obviously you can imagine there's not much room to put people in here. So we're really excited, and it'll be a training center too for our staff. So we're able to get a lot of square footage for not a lot of money, and we're doing some renovations. It's also at a pretty good price compared to everything else going on in the world right now. It gets more expensive the longer we wait, so we need to get it done. But that'll be, so eventually we will have those meetings there, but that probably won't be until next year. But we're probably looking at being able to move in there sometime during the summer. So that'll be the administrative office and the business office will work down there, and we won't all work on top of each other like we do now. So we're excited about that development, and so I'll have a better update on what it looks like, and who knows, maybe we can even have it down there at that point. I don't think we'd be able to have it by April, but we'll definitely be there when we decide to meet
next year.
Mm-hmm. That's where we'll be meeting. Sure. So
okay. So does anybody have any questions? Or
I know one thing for a future idea, and I think we probably need to get it set up, is every year we've had the Aurora Health came out and did the shots for students that needed immunizations.
Mm-hmm. May 3rd.
May 3rd.
They're going to be here May 3rd. May 3rd, okay. Yes, for our pre-Kers and kinder.
Okay.
And incoming 7th graders.
Because I know we had it usually also at the start of school. Yeah.
We do, yes. Right. So, usually it's during Meet the Teacher.
Yeah. Do we need to get
I
that
I have not it? Got it scheduled okay, yet. I'm kind of waiting on you guys to tell me when Meet the Teacher is.
Yeah, that can ensue some panic.
Yes, it can.
Even in my 10-year-old.
Meet the teacher. And then August.
Oh, okay.
We're not doing it during Roundup. We're going to do it. We're just going to notify them that it's May 3rd.
Good.
Okay, you had a question.
Yes, so with the health system, we're part of CHNA, CHIP programs, all these different organizations within the community that offer services that a lot of people don't use because they don't know they exist. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to figure out how to get people the knowledge that this thing exists. And so we're talking about, because I'm working in Tyler, but of course I live here. And it takes me 25 minutes to get to work. But a lot of people think Tyler's so far away.
Totally. They don't. That conversation.
Yeah. They don't want to go. They don't know it's there. They don't know, you know, whatever. So we talked about having individual health fairs that all these organizations come out, mm-hmm. and they just tell the parents, this is offered, you know, prenatal care, health care, mental health, even that's another thing with the mental health, you know, WIC, all these things that are offered that people don't necessarily know because they think they're so far away, but they're really, really not. Mm-hmm. And so we want to do that in the actual community so you don't have to drive to Tyler for it. It's done here. And I don't know if that's something that you would want to do maybe next year or look mm-hmm. into it for whatever. But, you know, it would be free for you. And I know our hospital, we're always trying to, we're big on community benefits. So if you ever have anything that needs a sponsor, let us know.
Well, we will, and it's called Grab and Go Reading.
Okay.
We're going to have several things. Okay. Potentially, you could probably come out more than once.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because we have a couple other things. You know, we have our, what do we call it, the back to school, where we do at the elementary. Mm-hmm. And we do have organizations set up in there. And sometimes we struggle finding enough. Well, no, that one is in the gym, and that's just elementary. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we struggle finding people that want to come. Mm-hmm. So that's good. But we have some other things. I mean, I think there's possibility to have you come out to several things.
Okay, and it wouldn't just be us. It wouldn't just be the hospital. You know, it's family circle, care clinics, like all these different organizations. And actually, I have a meeting next Tuesday with them. So let me know what you want me to tell them.
We'll be in touch and make sure that happens because we've got a lot of people in this community that need those things.
Okay, and I know one year I came out to the elementary and I taught them on hand washing and showed them the powder and I'd love to do that again. I'd love to tell people about hand washing.
They loved it.
So
just contact the principal, Andrea Blavier.
Yeah, I know Andrea. Actually, my daughter, I'm about to interview her for our summer program.
Well, you get her up and talk about how much we were like, we're doing
it. Tell her we said set it up. How about that?
We said it's done, go.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tell her that we said set it up, and if you have any issues getting it set up, let us know.
That's just too easy. Thank y'all so much.
Sure. Well, I mean, and even the high schoolers. I mean, my kids tell me all the time, no one washes their hands. No, and my kids.
Let's not just pick on the little kids.
I've taught infectious diseases.
I'll stand outside that. During lunch, I'll stand outside and I'll see a group. I'll be out just talking to somebody, and I'll see a group of kids go in, and you know they're in there about 45 seconds, and then they're all coming out. And I'm like, I know you didn't take care of your business and wash your hands. And do all, and they're all, it's just like this rotation. And I'm like, that place has just got to be gross in there. It's disgusting. Just so,
my office is right in the middle of junior high hall. And I'm just like, oh!
But it's a good visual for them to see the germs on their hand. I mean, because you don't realize it.
I remember, you know, when COVID hit, you know, there was, and you saw lots of videos about like people that just kind of do this real quick and how much was still there. And so, that sounds good. We set that up for sure. Set that up with Andrea, and then we'll see if we can set something up on the other campuses too. That'd be great. Really good.
Sure. Well, thank y'all. And I love that both of you mentioned about mental health. That, you know, several years ago in education, it's changed so quick. But several years ago, as a teacher or principal, I would have dealt with mental health maybe with a parent meeting, you know, or an ARD meeting where the parent attends. And it was at that point, you know, those were temporary moments that I was having to figure out how to deal with it. And then that progressed over my time in education. And of course, you know, it's with our kids and our parents and the grandparents and the, you know, and it's just huge. And some of the things we've had to do this year to try to get some counseling, you know, when we were like, we're gonna have to get something extra, we've done the tea chat, and so it's been pretty easy. We've had a few little glitches with it, like we're having to learn and do a little better at it. But the only time I'd ever heard of tea chat before was a parent had shared with me that they had to have counseling, but they couldn't be in the office with the therapist at the time. They could only have it through Zoom. And so that was years ago, and I was like, that's crazy. And then here we are, you know.
That's one of the goals that I've set with our board is monitoring our students' mental health, because we know coming out of, as you said, coming out of COVID, and really just, I mean, just turn on the news, like don't turn on the news, but the best thing to do would just be turn off the news, but as I've been looking into that goal, this is going to be a lot harder than I thought, because it's a bigger problem. So we're going to need help from the community to help us, because like you said, our counselors, well, right now we only have one counselor for the whole district. We need to have two. We will have two again next year, I think, but we only have one right now.
And she can't do all that with everything else that we have. We were in a meeting with her a minute ago about school stuff. Yeah, nothing about mental health.
Right.
And so,
it's a very different job.
So it's, we're going to need help from the community. So I that's why I was like, write this down, because mm-hmm. when you guys are talking about some of these things, we're going to need to figure out how we can utilize.
And I just have one more thing.
Yeah.
And if you can take this as words when you're meeting and coming up with ideas, you know, education and healthcare are both just inundated with the pandemic and all of the stuff left over from it. And so we talk about our kids, of course, and trying to meet their needs. But at the same time, we have staff that mm-hmm. need a mental mm-hmm. support mm-hmm. break moment, mm-hmm. you know, because they're wearing everything in that classroom, in that building, in that district. And we're wearing it for the district, you know. And so if we're their hope and we're not taking care of us mm-hmm. in any form of a mental hold it, just chill a second and talk, you know, you coming and talking with those kids about the vapes, that's fabulous, unbelievable, we need that. But I'm sitting here thinking, like, what would it mean to me if I just had somebody come and talk to me for 20 minutes during yeah. my conference? It gave me just stress relieving techniques, mm-hmm. you know, or just journaling things that I can do mm-hmm. during that moment to get over being upset about my kid or my parent not having what they need. So we just have to do the whole circle instead mm-hmm. of what we've always done, which is the little pieces, because like my daughter's a nurse and then I'm in education. So that's how I know we've both been hit so hard with it. So that was just a suggestion.
It's hard for maybe some of the students and even staff to talk to our counselor because they know us.
Well, and they're going through it too. Yeah. So like, I'm not going to talk to him for strength. Right. Because I know what all he's going through.
Right. And it'll just add more. So it'd be nice to be able to talk to someone that doesn't know us, doesn't work with us, and kind of give an outside perspective.
That's our fastest growing program, and the sources of strength. And I would say that the sources of strength would almost kind of meet that with those adult leaders, because mm-hmm. they're getting to kind of be a part of that, and it is very moving and very encouraging mm-hmm. for them. And the whole point of it's supposed to spread.
Mm-hmm.
So like the schools that are doing it this year that have been trained in sources of strength, they will get like mini trainings next year to kind of keep it up. Mm-hmm. But it's then kind of on them to lead those things and to keep that change keep moving throughout their school.
That's cool.
So okay. It's a really cool program.
Well, anything else? Are we good to go?
Thank you so much. It's great to have a bigger turnout than we had last time. And,
that's because they knew I was going to be here.
As I said last time, that we hope to really grow this. It's kind of COVID kind of hurt our committee and hurt this, and we're trying to bring it. I don't know what it was like before I got here, but we want it to be a big thing.
I'm happy to come anytime.
Okay.
Great.
We're happy to come.
You can be here anytime. You can be a regular.
And if you can email me some of the contact information or anything like that, then
I already sent my notes to my director.
And you were so good, young lady.